Mike, I'm very excited about this episode.
What's that sound?
What? What do you mean?
What is it? That's the sound of action features.
There it is. Man. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
I was very much looking forward to this episode. Since we decided to do this episode, I thought about this episode since then.
Yeah, me too.
Like, just very, very charged about this episode.
Why not have some fun, you know?
What is this episode about?
I don't know.
Oh.
Wait a second, I do know.
Okay.
I remember now.
Sweet.
We're going to talk about the 1995 and up Power of the Force line from Kenner / Hasbro. It was still Kenner, but had Hasbro partnered with them at that point?
I think they had bought them, but they were still using the Kenner name on all the packaging and everything.
Right.
It wasn't until later on that they started switching it over to Hasbro and everything. Like, the one you have there should say Kenner.
You know what's interesting?
Flip
this
that
one,
over.
This one doesn't have a Kenner logo on the front. It does on the back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that. Whereas this one that I'm holding, Hasbro logos.
That's a little further down.
This is, I think, 99? Yeah, 99. This is right around the time of episode one. So we're discussing...
The whole thing's going to be about that.
So about episode one.
So if you don't like... No.
Yeah.
If you don't like Star Wars toys...
If you don't like the Power of the Force line from 1995, tell about 1999. That's the range we're shooting at here. Then you may want to turn this one off, because this whole episode's about it.
Actually, go ahead and listen to it, and you might become a fan.
Yeah, I think that anybody of our age group that's into this pop culture-y type stuff had to... I mean, they had to know of this line.
Their
lives kind of affected by this line, I would think. If you're into the same things that we're into, you know, I don't think it's just that you had to collect this line, but this line was everywhere, and, you know, it influenced other lines, and it was a big, huge part of the collector market growing in that time. So you knew of this line.
Yeah.
Whereas I think a lot of other toy lines that you could kind of ignore over time, and
you know what?
You may have just missed it and never saw it.
Don't deny it.
You bought some of these.
Don't deny it.
You excited, and you liked it, and you bought some of these.
Well, you know, I think there's some people that are probably forgetting all about this and saying, those were garbage.
Definitely.
Those were garbage.
It gets blasted so unfairly.
Fellas,
now.
Ladies, gentlemen and ladies alike, it's time to take a trip down memory lane.
A memorable lame.
It's time to go down memory lane.
Well, before we get to 1995, well, I want to say real quick too that this episode we're not talking about anything else.
Just this.
Other stuff's happened in the pop culture arena. Some stuff that we do like, things that are going on. I meant to do Bill Tackett's action feature thing.
I have
none
mine.
Of that stuff's happening.
I have mine. We'll
this
save
is
it,
it
save
for this episode.
Save,
that's it.
Save it for next time.
And you know what's going to be great?
I'm listening.
We get accused of kind of being negative a lot.
By me? Have I accused?
No, not you. But like the show in general, you know, sometimes can have negative connotations.
Definitely.
We've
been on a streak, I think.
Not this episode.
We're going to take it back to the
old
school.
I feel great. I feel good. I'm happy thinking about this episode.
That's what I want to, yes.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of figures that we're going to say, hey, this maybe wasn't the best.
That's
but
okay.
Overall, my feelings about this line
That's
are
okay.
positive.
We're taking it back to the old school.
Like we're old fools.
We're so cool.
Man, we are so cool. All right, so let's set the landscape.
All right. What was it like? Okay.
Before 1995.
Before this line happened. Yes.
All right.
Before 1995.
We're looking at a time where, you know, there's no special editions.
Right.
You haven't even gotten to, like, the THX re-release of Star Wars, really, yet. We're talking, like, 1990 to, say, 1994, that time period.
Yeah.
Star Wars is starting to kind of come back a little bit in the public eye because you're getting, like, the Timothy Zahn novels. And you've got the Dark Horse comics happening, like Dark Empire.
Those were all
Tales of the Jedi.
Kind of orchestrated in relation to the Power of the Force line, weren't they? They were commissioned to build up to.
I don't know if that's true. I think that they were kind of bringing Star Wars back into the public eye, and they were going. They knew that there was a market for Star Wars,
right.
But I don't think it was so much that it was to lead into the Power of the Force line. I think that the Power of the Force line came about. Because of, I hate to say it, like the bendies were like coming about, and that was like, wow, people were seeing Star Wars, and the books were happening, and the comics were happening, and Star Wars was getting more in the public eye. And
Kenner
was.
I had the feeling that like George Lucas was kind of grooming all of this to go back into a merchandise.
Oh, you know, that could be his game plan.
I don't know.
Maybe he knew that the special editions were coming and the prequels were coming. It was just a matter of, you know, creating...
I don't know.
More and more of a build-up towards that. But who knows? But we didn't have figures at that point.
Yeah.
What we had was the Bendys.
Yeah, well, let's take it even before the Bendys. I've said it before.
Yeah.
But I missed all the movies. So the only thing that I ever got of Star Wars was when I was very young, I had a biker scout that had loose legs, and somehow I got from a neighbor or something. I don't know where I got it from. I played in the bathtub with it. That was that. And then later on, I had a couple others, and they were all hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Return of the Jedi recorded from TV. I think it might have been ABC or something like that. CBS, probably.
Maybe CBS.
I don't know.
Maybe it was Disney Channel.
It wasn't Disney Channel.
Oh, no, that's these days.
I'll tell you that. And that's how... That was Star Wars.
Well, I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
So I did have Star Wars toys. I didn't have a ton.
Yeah.
I remember having Luke Jedi, I had Han Hoff, I had Yoda, and, you know, a few others here and there. But I didn't have, like, a huge amount of Star Wars toys. I did love Star Wars growing up, but I didn't have a huge amount of Star Wars toys. And I think that was more to do with the fact that we grew up in a time where there was so many great lines.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was only so much money that you had to kind of pick and choose. Having a complete line as a little kid,
right.
Unless you were rich, that just wasn't going to happen. Unless right. that was all you were focused on. Which is getting just that thing.
You weren't going to get.
You weren't going to get everything.
There was so, a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I just had a smattering of Star Wars toys. But then I got older, you know, into the early 90s, and I kept thinking, like, man, I wish I had more Star Wars toys. I really do. Looking back at what I have, I don't have many. And so I would pick up, you know, vintage figures at flea markets and comic shops just to kind of get more Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
But it was still collecting Star Wars figures when I was a kid, and I really wanted some new figures. Like, I kept thinking, yeah. man, I wish they would do some new Star Wars figures.
I was trading with neighbor kids for their Star Wars. I traded one kid a Will Scarlet figure from Robin Hood for six Star Wars figures.
That's a great deal.
Will Scarlet.
For you.
Yes. It was kind of tough to find at the time. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this?
Because
I love Star Wars too. This was before internet, whatever. I had no idea what was even available. I had a Luke Jedi and that Biker Scout, which I kind of assumed was from Star Wars, and spent years drooling over when I found a Tomarts. I found a Tomarts price guide, I think, that had pictures of all the old figures in it, and I was just like, "Whoa!"
Blows your mind.
It blew my mind. I pored over those pages, just wishing that I could get these. And what else? Legos? We didn't have Star Wars Legos.
No, none of that stuff.
We dreamed of that.
That exactly. It was so different. You know, if you were a Star Wars fan going into the early 90s, that it was like, wow, there's like nothing. All you can go back is getting the figures from that came out back
right.
then. Because if you think about other toy lines that started in the 80s, like the big ones, Transformers didn't really have there were some slow times, but it felt like Transformers just kept on going.
Right.
And G.I. Joe just kind of kept on going. And He-Man for a long time kept on going. But Star Wars really kind of ended around 1985-ish of seeing toys in stores, yeah. maybe into 86. But as you got older, there was just like nothing. There was nothing there. And so there was when the Bendys came about
the
and
Bendays.
All that stuff, the Bendays. That was something, but it wasn't what you wanted. It was just kind of a tease. It was like, Bendys. Wow,
I don't remember ever buying a Bendy.
I don't either.
I looked at
the Rocketeer. I bought the Rocketeer Bendy.
I didn't buy that.
But
I looked at that. I looked at those Star Wars Bendys, and I was like, so close.
It's almost there.
I want to have a Star Wars toy, but I'm sorry.
That was all you had.
I couldn't. Yeah, I didn't do it.
And it was not a...
Didn't do it.
It just didn't seem like it was going to happen. You know, like, yeah. It seemed like that was all we were getting. No matter if Star Wars really was starting to have sort of...
Right.
It was sort of coming back in the public's eye. Because towards the end of the 80s, it really had died down a whole lot. You could get figures dirt cheap at flea markets. But it kind of was moving away from being this huge thing because it seemed like it was over. Like, we got Jedi and, you know, there's some droids and Ewoks cartoons. But it was kind of over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like Star Trek where it kind of came back and had a new incarnation or something like that.
It was a
like
thing
that.
Of the past.
It just really felt like it was over.
I thought it was done, yeah.
Yeah. So when you saw things like the Bendys and you saw the books happening and the comics happening, it was like, wow, what's happening? Is this...
The Bendy.
It's starting to come back. And then you kind of had a hope that maybe maybe we will get some real figures.
Yeah.
And then we...
A new hope.
It was a new hope. It was a new hope for all of us that it would be more than just the Bendys, that we would end up with something much, much more.
Star Wars Power of the Force Collection. Darth Vader leads an evil empire towards universal domination. Join a brave rebellion with Luke Skywalker, Han Solo and Chewbacca, and Jedi Obi-Wan Kenobi. Can you stop the empire? Star Wars Power of the Force Collection from Kenner.
From who?
From Kenner.
Ah.
It cut off at the end.
Yes.
But that's okay. What we got.
That's,
so
that's what you got was cut off commercials back then. You guys don't know how
you
rough
got
to
cut off commercials. It was rough back in the day. So we get this line, and I think I don't know if we saw it the same way or not.
I think so.
I think it was Hero Illustrated that we both saw it
I
first.
I think it
in.
Was Hero Illustrated.
Hero Illustrated for those man. There's a lot of people that don't know nowadays what Hero Illustrated even was back in the day. During
is
the
Wizard still around?
Wizard is gone too.
Okay.
Wizard's like an online magazine
Wizard
now too.
Wizard lasted for a while. After
that. Wizard made it longer than. Than Hero did. Hero was kind of a ripoff of Wizard, but
I liked Hero.
I liked it better.
Better, yeah.
But Wizard, it was started with Wizard Magazine, which was a magazine based on comics, and then it was also involving other things like toys and movies, pop culture, whatever. And Hero Illustrated was kind of the same thing, but I think it was a better made magazine. And in their Toy Fair issue, which we had at that time, Lee's and Tomart's, you didn't really see that as much at like.
Well, you couldn't pick up a Lee's
grocery
Kroger.
Store or something like that.
You could get a Hero.
I would get Hero at Kroger, a grocery store that's local to me and Mike. And they had an issue that had a lot of stuff from Toy Fair. And I remember that there were things like Congo was in there. I want to say that there were maybe Power Rangers pictured in the same article, some Kenner Batman stuff. But right there was a very small image, and it said something about like Star Wars Returns, and it had the image from the card back. The red and orange, thing where it had the figure standing there, and I lost my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, that's it, they're back. This is what I've been wanting.
Yeah.
Star Wars figures are back. They're actually going to make new Star Wars figures. And I was just over the moon, man.
Yeah.
That's all, exactly. I didn't care about anything else in the article. I just wanted those Star Wars figures so bad. And, looking at them in the picture, I could see that they had done the more muscle thing.
Yeah.
And maybe I did want more realistic figures. I would have preferred it look more like the vintage, like a continuation of that. But I didn't care. It was new Star Wars figures.
Yeah, I totally
and I could
didn't
not
care.
Wait to buy them. I could not wait to buy those figures. You got the original card back there?
For me, it was a first because it was the first time that I would get to go to the store
image.
and actually buy Star Wars figures. And they were a little muscly. I didn't really care. I did not care, I have to say, at first. I was like, these are cool. And the thing I was most excited about was something that I wished that had happened with the vintage line, and it just seemed common sense to me, was using the clear plastic for the lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked so cool when they did it. I was like, oh, they did. This is perfect. This is perfect. It's dead on.
I was very impressed by the first character selection, too, because it was like, here's everything really you need.
Yeah.
From the first movie in the first wave.
Right.
You had the Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca, R2-D2, C-3PO, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then very quickly after Princess Leia. So it was like everything you need from the first movie, right there. The other thing I was super excited about was that they stuck with the same scale. In a time where, Kenner was really known for doing more 4-inch
like
to 5-inch
figures,
to go back to the 3 3/4 scale just so it would kind of fit the old line was great. I was so happy that these were the same size as my old figures. And that meant that they can interact with the old figures if you really wanted to put them there with each other. I remember I had a Boba Fett, like a vintage Boba Fett, and I got these new figures and I kind of had them all sitting on the shelf together and I stuck that old Boba Fett on the shelf with them.
Put them on
and
there.
It was like, hey, you know what? They're the same scale. It looks good together. I can tell the ones from the 70s and I don't care. They're all right there, man. But so we saw this picture. And it was like, they also had some stuff in Star Wars Galaxy Magazine. I remember, I'm almost positive, the Star Wars Galaxy Magazine that talked about this line also hit before the figures came out. So it was kind of a build-up going into the finding this first wave. And I want to say it was like a J. Scott Campbell cover or something. I'm pretty sure it was that issue. And it had like a write-up about the figures and, what was coming in the Kenner line. And it was kind of the first time I felt like I had an inside view into a toy line happening. At that point we had Spawn figures, and Tom McFarlane was very big about talking about the production of the figures and things in the Spawn comic. But I really didn't feel like I had such an inside view into toy making as we did with this line. Because of articles that came out through like Star Wars Galaxy Magazine. And nowadays, people just take it for granted that they know who's doing the figures. Like the Four Horsemen, everybody knows who those guys are, and Eric Sosa, or the guys that sculpt for Sideshow. And everybody has such an inside view as to like the process of making a figure and which guys are sculpting this and doing that. But back then, we didn't.
Right.
And it was like a big thing that we were getting this inside view on how the figures were made and the sculpting process and decisions they were making. And this line really, I think, opened the door to that. Like, giving everyone an inside view of how the figures are made and the process behind it. Where now, you know, you tell somebody about a first shot or a hard copy of a prototype or something like that, and a lot of collectors will know what you're talking about. Whereas pre-1995, a lot of them probably didn't know what you were talking about.
I think it ushered in collecting.
It definitely did
in a big way.
It definitely ushered in collecting figures more than any other line, I think.
Yeah.
That it became. I knew tons of guys that weren't into collecting toys or knew about collecting action figures, but then they started collecting the Star Wars line. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna collect Star Wars. I'm collecting Star Wars now too.
Leaving stuff in the package. I mean,
this was variations.
Right.
That became a huge thing with this line, with the half circles Boba Fett and the changing of the lightsaber size and the empty tray and the half empty tray and. Indented rings on lightsabers and just like crazy variations where it was just a running change on a figure became like a huge thing. Right. People were going nuts for that stuff,
right.
Man. Just absolutely bonkers to try and find any kind of variation, and people were paying like so much money for it.
Yeah.
Like crazy amounts of money to get like long or short sabers in a long tray. Or was a change in the tray. Crazy stuff, man. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to talk about when we first found the figures, man.
Oh, yeah.
When did you first find them?
You know, I honestly don't remember finding them in stores. I don't have any recollection of that happening, so I don't know if my mom picked it up for me, or I know that happened for episode one,
because
I was sick when those hit. But I do remember the first figure that I had was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Old Ben.
That's crazy.
It was kind of a weird choice, but at that time, like, I knew about Luke, and Ben had just become sort of cool to me, because he was the old guy with the robe, and I was never impressed with the vintage Ben figure.
I agree. Vintage Ben and vintage Vader are just not that impressive. They should have been redone towards the end of the line. Both of them should have been redone.
Mostly because, for me, the legs didn't meet, so it looked like he was just wearing big baggy pants, big ladies' pants.
I think the vinyl capes are a big...
And the vinyl capes were...
Big drawback
were
on
kind of tough.
When you see a figure like Anakin that came out towards the end of the line, you see the way those robes are done, you can only imagine how cool it would have been had they gone back and redone Ben and Vader like that. So I totally understand what you're saying.
I don't know. So I knew that I was probably getting them all, but when I saw... I knew I was like, give me the Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I've got to train before I can get these other figures.
Yeah, you have to learn to be a Jedi Master before you're worthy of buying the other figures. I was the opposite. I found them pretty much all at once. Yeah. And I remember being at Walmart. And this is really the first time I felt like I was hunting for toys. And, you know, it was the perfect time for me when this line came out. I was 17 when this line hit. I had a job. I had a car. I had disposable income. I didn't have bills.
Right.
It was just like, this was the first time I could think of where it was like, I can go and actively buy my own figures and buy every single one of
them.
Get
whatever you want.
I can buy whatever I want.
Yeah.
I have nobody to stop me. I don't have to ask my mom to buy me one.
Right.
I don't have to ask for a trip to the toy store. I can just go buy these. And so I would go and I would hunt to wait for the line to hit. And I remember I found them at the Walmart, this is only going to matter to people in Cincinnati. There used to be a Walmart over in Springdale, and that's where I first found them. And the peg was full. It was, I think, just one peg, but they had them all, except for C-3PO and Princess Leia, which I'm pretty sure didn't ship at first.
I know Leia didn't, and
I'm pretty sure 3PO didn't either. Mm. But I got everybody else from the first wave in that one swoop just right then. And, man, I was almost shaken. I was so excited. Because the card back... I hadn't seen the card back yet at this point. I don't think it was in that article. I can't remember for sure. But the card back was so neat, and the figures just looked so cool, and I was buying new Star Wars figures, and they were there. I was like, this is it. I'm getting them.
I much prefer the red card back.
I do too.
To the green. And it just...
It captures the eye more.
Yeah, and that first wave, it felt like Star Wars, and the color palette, all the figures had a white and brown, earthy themes, just like the first movie did.
Yeah.
And put on that red, fade to yellow background. It just, man, I just had so much energy. It's just like, and on top of that, they're showing you there are four vehicles available, which were just redos of the Kenner stuff, pretty much. But that's what I want. That's all I wanted. Because I couldn't find those vehicles. I didn't have those. An X-Wing?
Nobody does Star Wars like the power of the Force from Kenner. The biggest, most realistic force in the universe. Only the power of the Force brings you the biggest heroes and villains straight from the movies. And the largest fleet of full-scale vehicles ever. We bring you the real movie detail of the Rebel Snowspeaker, the blazing lights of the Luke Skywalker lightsaber, and the big movie sounds of the X-Wing. When it comes to big size, big detail, and big movie sounds, now you're playing with the power. Star Wars, Power of the Force. Figures and vehicles each sold separately. Batteries not included, only from Kenner.
And that was nice of Mark Hamill to tell us about the vehicles right then.
That's right. Hamill did that voiceover.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of the vehicles. So, yeah, these are the vehicles you wanted. Like, from the old line, you wanted the Falcon, you wanted the X-Wing, and you wanted the TIE Fighter. Right. That was your tops.
Right.
If you could only have three vehicles,
those are the ones you would want.
And for them to reuse those original molds was genius. They work perfect. There's nothing wrong with those old molds.
Absolutely.
And to just update the sounds and the paint schemes and the stickers and stuff like that, just genius, man, because then you're catching all that nostalgia for those old vehicles, but you're not having to pay for these giant molds and
you didn't have to redo
all this tooling and stuff.
You didn't really have to redo those.
You didn't, and I think they still work great. Sure. There's something about, you know, we're living in a day where people are like, oh, the scale is just, it's just not right. You know, we've got to get bigger with the Millennium Falcon. We've got to get bigger with the AT-AT. We've got to get bigger with the X-Wing. Got to get bigger. That's not. There's a reason why these were made like this back then.
Right.
And they were made for kids. When you
carry it around.
So you can carry it around. You can fly this X-Wing around the house, and you can fly this Millennium Falcon around the house, and you can, you know, hold both the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter in, you know, a kid's hand at the same time
and
have a
space battle.
So that's why I really prefer. They may be out of scale, but I prefer those old molds because they're still toys.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just something that's sitting on your shelf the whole time. Those were made to have a kid play with them. They weren't just made to be sitting on your shelf, you know, and to make a diorama or something like that. So I'm so happy that they went back and did use those molds because they were fun. They're fun molds, and they're, you know, they're just cool to pick up and carry around the room. I have my Falcon that I have at the house is a legacy, not legacy, but original trilogy collection one, and that's again still using the same mold. It's been updated some of this Falcon. They've added lights to the back, but it's still that size, and it can still, you know, if the kids want to play with it, they can grab it and play with it and run it around the house. Whereas the giant Millennium Falcon and things, yeah, it's cool for adult collectors, but you know, that's
it's kind of
not so cool for. And this, you could tell this line was still made for kids at this point when they're making this. Their target market was still kids.
Yeah.
That's why they have those beefed up personas.
I'm going to say this later on, I'm sure, again, but it was so fun. It just seemed like it was fun.
Definitely.
And the people at Kenner were having fun with it, and they were saying, like, and also, let me throw this out there as far as the muscle goes. Is it possible that they were influenced by the Marvel Star Wars comics?
Possibly.
Of the 70s? Because if you look at Han Solo
and
Luke, both from those early comics, they were real beefy, almost. I mean, they look really, really, really similar. So maybe they said, "Hey, what if we did this?
What if we did that?
What if we did that?
What if we did
kids
that?
Like muscles?
Kids do like muscles.
Hey, have you seen the He-Man toy line?
Those have a lot of muscles.
You've seen the muscles on those?
You look at the other things that were coming out this time. Batman was super beefy and muscular,
yeah.
And the G.I. Joe Extreme figures were super beefy and muscular.
Yeah,
and you know the Aliens figures were beefy and muscular. Everything was beefy and muscular.
Arnold and Stallone were both at the top of their games.
So I understand what they're doing here. They wanted to appeal to kids, and they wanted to appeal to that current market. And you know, yeah, they're big and they're buff. But they're still cool figures.
I think it still translates.
I think it does too. You can still see this is Darth Vader. It's not too overboard. You can still see that's Luke. That's Han. And I thought that the head sculpts were all pretty solid.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty good.
Cool
Except
accessories.
For, there's a notorious one that we forgot. We're talking about Leia.
Oh, I want to talk about that real quick too before we talk about the actual sculpt itself. So I got those original figures except for 3PO and Leia, right? And so then I discovered that a friend from high school worked at this Walmart.
Mm.
And this became the first inside man that I had at a toy store, which, you know, people do that all the time. Now you get in good with somebody that works at a toy store, and you hope that, you know, you can get a hookup from this guy. Well, I found my buddy John Sheldon. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but I'm friends with him on Facebook. But he worked in the sporting goods section at this Walmart. And I ran into him. I was like, whoa, John, you work here. And I had, I think, a Star Wars t-shirt on at the time or something. He's like, yeah, I work here now, man. And I was like, look, dude, I collect Star Wars figures.
You told him flat out.
I was like, listen, I'm telling you flat out. I collect these.
This is the situation.
And I need Leia and I need 3PO. Can you call me if they come in? And he was like, sure, dude, I'll call you. What are you doing here?
Can you break off this peanut butter?
I'll take a little bit, but I'm not taking a full half. I took a full half. I didn't mean to break it in half like that.
I don't need all of it.
So, and he's like, yeah, man, I'll call you. Sure, no problem. And so I was at home. It was, you know, weeks, maybe a month or so later. I'm eating dinner with my family. And he calls me up. And he's like, hey, man, we got the 3PO and the Leia. I hit him for you. And I'm like, I'm there, man. I stopped eating my food. I jumped in the car and drove there as fast as I could and walked away with my C-3PO and my, what we now is referred to as the monkey face Leia.
Yes.
I couldn't be happier buying them.
I loved, when I found that Leia, my mom was my inside man because she was always, which one do you want?
Which guy are you wanting?
What man?
Which of the guys are you wanting?
Which man do you want?
Which of the men's do you want?
Listen, mom, I need Princess Leia because she's missing.
She's not a guy, but I do want her.
I do want her. She's missing from this collection. So yeah, she did eventually find one. I was happy to have it. I didn't notice, like, wow, she looks ugly.
I didn't either.
I didn't think about that.
I didn't care. You know, it was a new Star Wars figure. I was getting a new Star Wars figure. And, you know, we hear a lot of people go back and blast them now and talk about how horrible they were. But I'll bet every one of them was eating them up just like we were. And I can't look back at anything but happiness over that whole line.
I want to say also, Carrie Fisher has a difficult face
to sculpt. It's a tough one to capture.
I'm not saying that she was beautiful back then, but I'm just saying she has, like, features that are...
not easy to translate.
Different from just a... yeah, run of the mill lady.
You go ahead. You have something you want to say?
No.
I want to jump back on the vehicles again real quick.
Let's get on the vehicles.
Just back on there. So, for the most part, we saw just, whereas the figures were all new, we were just seeing reissues of vehicles. We got, you know, the ones we already mentioned. We got the Land Speeder, and then we ended up getting the Snow Speeder, the Boba Fett Slave 1, and we got the AT-ST, we got the AT-AT. But again, they were all, you need to take that?
No.
Okay, they were all reissues of those older molds. It wasn't until, you know, like the Shadows of the Empire line and the some of the 97, 98, that we started to see some new vehicles, like the T-16 Skyhopper and the Dash Rendar Outrider. And that, to me, was like, wow, you could totally put your old vintage figures in these vehicles. The people that collect the vintage line should be really, really excited right now because they're getting new vehicles
right.
That can still interact with those old figures. And it just kind of was like they still fit the aesthetic of those old vehicles and they still look like they can match in with them.
Right.
And a big part of that, I think, has to do with the fact that the guys that worked on that old line, some of them are still working on this new line. Like the guy that originally designed the Millennium Falcon was involved in updating the Millennium Falcon. And
right.
That's great to have that legacy attached to it where you're not bringing in this new, you know, kid that's on the block that's wanting to do this and do that, but you want to keep the same aesthetic and carry it forward. It was great, man.
That was cool.
Really cool stuff.
You know what else was cool? They released the Biker Scout. The speeder bike.
With him.
With the biker.
And with Luke. And with Leia.
Right.
They did it three times.
Right.
And you got... because
you got a different figure each time.
Yeah. If you're going to get Luke and Endor, you want a bike to put him on. And they put knees on those, which knee joints on a Star Wars figure, that was something...
that was different.
Totally new. Like, it was like, whoa, this one can actually, like, bend his knees.
Right.
And, you know, I think it got way overboard with the articulation. That's when I started to really lose interest more and more.
Well,
it was when they added more and more joints and
exactly.
stuff.
But those figures were specifically for to fit on the
speeder.
Vehicle. So the speeder,
it made sense.
Biker Scout really didn't look good off the bike because he had those, he was bow-legged. And,
yeah, and he had those weird hands.
Yeah, his hands were made to handlebars, but
totally but it was
cool
that they made it so that you could stand him off on his own if you wanted.
You could take him off. You don't want him fixed on there.
No, you don't. That's lame.
What if he gets knocked off?
What if he gets knocked off?
He's going to get knocked off the bike.
What if Luke needs to get off the bike and kill somebody? Hmm?
What happens then?
What happens then?
If he's stuck on there. So, yeah, awesome. I had that speeder bike.
That speeder bike was awesome, dude. And, it was an old mold. And it still had that little bar thing where you can, like, put a vintage figure on there.
Right.
So you could put your vintage figures on these newer speeder bikes. I thought it was really cool, yeah, the fact that you could use vintage with all this stuff. If you wanted to update your vintage Millennium Falcon, even if you didn't collect the new figures, you could update all your vehicles and use all your vintage figures with these newer vehicles. I thought that was awesome. It just showed that there was such a serendipity to the line, you know, like, that it was just kind of, even though the figures really didn't match in the style so much as the vintage, the fact that it was, they were almost like treating it like it was one giant line, you know, like it just kind of kept going. I thought it was neat. We talked about Shadows a little bit there.
You did mention Shadows.
Prepare yourself for Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire. The cruel crime lord Shizor directs the carbonite capture of Han Solo and his imprisonment aboard bounty hunter Boba Fett's battle-ready Slave One. Now Luke Skywalker goes undercover with Soldier of Fortune Dash Rendar as he rips through space in his battle-transforming Outrider. But can they stop Slave One in time? It's the ultimate ships for the ultimate battle. Dare to enter the shadow. Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire. Figures and vehicles each sold separately from Kenner.
Now that was something that was really interesting.
Totally.
To get Star Wars figures not based on the movies, not based on a cartoon or anything like that, but to get something that was brand new and happening right then and getting figures based off of that thing as it was happening right then, you know, it was, it just showed me that this line may not ever end. Like, I felt like that was really an indication that this line was going to happen for a long time, that if they were going to do new things and new figures were going to be based on these new things, that this line could really be huge. And I loved the Shadows of the Empire subline.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome too.
That was way cool.
I missed the books. Like, I didn't read the books, and I don't remember reading the comic either. But I had there was all this new stuff, and included in that new stuff was a Leia Bausch, which I was so excited about. That was such a cool figure.
Me too, man.
But I had Shizor nonetheless. I was like, you know what? I'll buy Prince.
He's a new
Shizor.
Bad guy.
I didn't really. He's not my favorite design, looking back. But you know what? I bought him. He had laser fans.
You know what you got?
Yeah.
As far as bad guys go.
I had that Chewbacca, too.
Why not?
Why not have him?
As far as bad guys go, for the original Star Wars trilogy, you got Vader, you got the Emperor, you got Tarkin, and then you got a bunch of unnamed soldiers and stuff like that, basically. And then you got maybe the bounty hunters. You can consider the bounty hunters. But they have, like, a named bad guy, another named one, like a unique character.
Yeah, getting...
It was pretty cool, you know?
It was neat.
You got that cool Luke and Imperial, like, guard disguise.
That's one that I never had. I kind of regret it.
It was really neat. Lando, I think, I'm pretty sure Lando does it in the book, too, because I ended up buying a second Lando. That was, like, an early custom that I did. It was switch the heads out so I'd have a Lando in guard disguise, too. And it was neat that they changed the packaging but still kind of kept it the same. You got the purple.
Yeah.
Lightsaber effect.
They tacked Shadows of the Empire.
It was tacked on there,
but that's what I liked. It was still
in
the same line.
All part of the same thing.
It was all part.
And the images on there were like drawn images,
right?
You know, of like the character from like the comic or design or something like that. Right. And Shadows of the Empire was a big event.
Yeah.
All it really was a book.
Right.
You know, but it got like a soundtrack, and it got a game, and it got a toy line, it got comics, it got commercials.
I think that's probably what I'm thinking of with George Lucas trying to make that happen. That's what I was thinking of earlier. I think.
But, that I can see for sure.
Yeah.
It really became a cross-media event.
Right.
And not just, here's some more figures. And from that...
Yeah, the video game, too.
The video game, yep. For that, we kind of spun into the Expanded Universe line, which I love, the Expanded Universe line. Those are so cool. You got your Luke over there?
I do have it here. Let's see.
And again, we're carrying forward the same thing. It's got the green motif, but now it's added that Expanded Universe thing below it.
Right.
We've got an image from whatever media it's brought it out from over here in the same spot where the, you know, the picture is usually. You've got a Dark Empire Luke here, so it's got a picture of Dark Empire Luke. And this awesome packaging, the 3D play scene thing.
That's what has me tempted to open that.
It's so just cool. Never seen these figures, which some of you may not have been in this line, or you may be younger or whatever.
Or don't remember, because I don't think I had any of those.
Of these?
When I was younger. Of course, I kind of petered out by the time Expanded Universe came out.
Well,
in my mid-teens, and
it's just shows that, like,
but I love that they did it, and
they just kept trying new things, man. Right. They weren't going to just be stagnant and say, here it is, here's the same thing again and again and again. They went from here's the regular card back, and then here is the card back, we've made it green, and we're going to add a hologram sticker to it. Here's the card back, and we're going to add a freeze frame to it, which I loved the freeze frames.
Right.
The freeze frames were so neat. They were little slides that had an image from the movie. and it had a little hole through the cardboard, and you could hold it up to the light and see that scene from the movie, right. Or you could put it in the viewer thing that was a mail away. And then you had the flashback photos, which was kind of lame, but you could pull it down, and it would change from the character you're looking at to something that was related to in episode one.
But still, with all that variation, still the congruency from the very first ones up through.
You can still tell it's all part of the same line. Right. They're still carrying forward elements of the packaging each time. But they're giving you a neat little pack-in. It's not adding on to the price or anything. It was just a neat little pack-in. And you got the Comtech chips, which talked if you put them on a Comtech reader. But these Expanded Universe ones were so awesome that you cut the back, and then like a pop-out scene for you to display your figure on.
Yeah, a whole environment.
Was so neat. And the way it's contained inside here...
You can barely tell that there's anything
exactly.
extra on there.
It just feels like a thick...
It's a regular cardboard.
Yeah. But when you pop it out, it really makes this neat little scene that makes it feel like it's from a comic book. Right. Or, you know, that it's from this video game. And the fact that they were getting kind of fan-favorite stories and fan-favorite games and getting those characters into the line... Awesome. But still making them look like... As if they were in the movie. Like, this Luke that you've got, you can tell that's Mark Hamill's head sculpt. And they've right. just added, like, a bushier hair to it. And he's got on the Dark Empire outfit. The Leia looks like Carrie Fisher. And the Emperor, he's a younger Emperor, but you can kind of see the... Almost like they're trying to sculpt a younger Emperor face
to it.
Well,
it looks like he did, I mean, in the Dark Empire comic. And having just read that, I'm very glad that these were made.
They're great.
Because they're better than the comic 2-packs, in my opinion.
Me too. I totally agree that in the comic 2-packs, they're too stressed with getting tons of articulation.
But you're getting an interesting selection of figures here, because you got three of these are from one story, and then you're getting some key characters from other stories, or four of them.
You're getting video game guys, you're getting ones from books. You got, let's think, it was Grand Admiral Thrawn, and Mara Jade from the Zahn trilogy of books. You got the Dark Trooper and Kyle Katarn from the video games. And then you got the Imperial Sentinel, Dark Luke, Leia Jedi, and the Emperor from Dark Empire.
Yeah. Cool figures.
Very cool subline.
And you know what? One thing we failed to mention about packaging is that they have the write-ups. For each figure got a cutout card, just like the old G.I. Joes, that has a write up.
Tons of info.
For that character, and that's something I'm kind of missing these days.
I totally miss it.
It's kind of just a neat.
Nowadays we're lucky to get one sentence or two, and now we're even losing that where they put on all the different languages.
Right.
Whereas I'm looking at this Boba Fett and he's got this picture. This file card cutout thing, you got his height, his status, his classification, his affiliation, his weapon of choice, his vehicle of choice, and then a really, really long write-up, and this is all prequel stuff. Right. So it was like, you felt like you were getting new info when you read this card back about Boba Fett. Like, whoa, this is cool stuff. And you could collect these. You could cut them out and collect them and things.
You could cut that out and have like a little file. Not to mention you got to see other stuff that was available.
I miss those days, man, where the packaging really...
It was
part of the package. Part of the enjoyment that it wasn't just you tear it open, you throw it away. You got all this stuff on the back that you wanted to keep and look at, and then the pack-ins were cool, and it was more than just, I'm buying a figure and I'm going to chuck this package or whatever. It didn't seem like any thought goes into the packaging
nowadays.
That's
kind of why I have this carded set of Lukes. I have a hard time opening them.
That Dark Empire Luke is so cool, though,
man. I know,
man. He's so cool.
Maybe. Maybe one day.
All right, so here's another thing that is kind of missing from toy lines these days that I'm really sad about.
Out of Star Wars and into your hand. It's an exclusive Kenner action figure. Han Solo disguised as a stormtrooper. Free with two proofs from Kellogg's Fruit Loop cereal. May the force be with you.
The mail-away figure.
Yes.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Those days are gone.
Yep. Well, when it costs, $5 to send something. It's only a slight exaggeration, but for a figure, it might.
I think, too, that they don't think that people open toys anymore. You know, like...
Well, it's a different... It's like when you didn't have... When you couldn't just hop on Amazon and click something and buy it in one click and have and shipped and be there in 2 days, it was a special thing. And I remember when that Han Solo came out, I was freaking out.
Me too, dude.
I couldn't believe... That of a real actual action figure that was going to fit in with my line was available through a serial. I had two open boxes of Fruit Loops that went stale because
had to do it.
I cut the proofs of purchase out right away. Mm-hmm. Mom, please, I need to get...
I have to get it out.
Oh, what kind of... You want cereal? No. I want two boxes of Fruit Loops, please.
And they both have to have this Han Solo.
But you don't like Fruit Loops.
I don't care.
You didn't hear me. I need two boxes of Fruit Loops with the Han Solo mail away. I just need the proofs. And I did. I let those cereals go stale. I was never a big Fruit Loop fan.
You know what? You're only paying $3 or so a box, so it's like you're getting a $6 Han Solo mail away. And that's a figure they didn't make at the vintage line. All we got was Luke as a Stormtrooper.
I can't remember the deal. Did you have to add any money to that? Or
you probably had to pay shipping, but I can't remember for sure.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I mean, it was like...
If it was very minuscule that you would have to pay. I mean, we grew up in a time where mail away figures were common. You know, like, you get so many proofs, you mail away for a figure. There were so many in the vintage line. They were all the time on the packaging. Get a free 9-num if you send in these proofs, or get a free Emperor if you send in these proofs, or get a free Ghostbusters Flicker watch if you send in these proofs, or, you know, there were entire catalogs of, like, G.I. Joe where you could get stuff through the mail for flag points, all this different stuff. And that slowly but surely went away as we went into the late 80s into the 90s. Kenner was still doing a couple things here and there in the 90s, but this line really felt like it was really trying to get, you know, it out into other markets. Like, here's the cereal one. Right. Here's Frito-Lays, where, you know, you get so many Frito-Lays bags and you get the Ghost of Obi-Wan. Or
that was a cool figure, too.
That was a cool one. It didn't move.
I never had that.
I got that one. I went crazy trying to find those Frito-Lays.
His arms didn't move?
Didn't move. He was just one solid piece. Well, I mean, the arms were glued on, but you didn't... There was no movement.
I thought, yeah, I remember.
But there was, again, a figure we didn't have in the vintage line that was a mail-away for this line, you know? And it was just... it was so neat... waiting for something in the mail again. Like, I was going into my adult years, but I was still, like, checking the mail every day. Like,
yeah, you didn't,
I got a figure coming in the mail. I can't wait for this to arrive.
You couldn't jump on and check your tracking number?
You can't. It was just when it showed up is when it showed up. Right. And kids these days don't know anything about that.
Right.
When I tell my sons that, oh, yeah, that was a mail-away, and they're like, what is a mail-away? And
what
I'm like,
oh,
well, you have to send in and you got to get it to the mail. You got a figure through the mail? And I'm like, yeah, not like Amazon or something like that. You just didn't know when it was going to show up. You just checked your mailbox. And if it was in there, you had a great day. Like, it was everything if you got that in the mail.
The anticipation of building up to that.
And, you know, that happened to be part of this line, and that was really kind of the end of that happening with this line. It's kind of appropriate that it went out with this line, the advent of the mail-away figure. I miss those. And they did other ones through the Star Wars Insider magazine and things like that, where it was kind of a club figure, but you mailed or you ordered it and you had sent in the mail. That was another kind of first thing, where it was like exclusive figures through almost like a club.
Right.
And we're seeing that a ton nowadays for figures to happen through the G.I. Joe
too
Club or
almost.
Transformers Club. It's way too much. Back then, it was like we got one figure through the Star Wars Insider Star Wars
Club. And it wasn't
Wars
somebody
club.
That you needed for the
exactly.
Club,
you could skip it if you really wanted to. But that was kind of a beginning where it was maybe a figure they didn't think they could do in stores. They'd send it to the club, like the Beomber Monk or Cabe and Muftak, or it was like the big Cantina creature or whatever, where they couldn't do that on a single regular card, so it became a mail-away thing. And those days are gone, or they're way too much. It's one or the other. It's no mail-aways, or your entire line is a mail-away.
Right.
And that's no fun.
Nah.
I want to be able to go to the store and buy stuff still.
Yeah, that's not
fun. Yeah. So that covers the mail-away stuff.
It does cover the mail-away stuff. We blasted through that.
We blasted through it. Well, we're already at 45 minutes, but there's still some other things I want to talk about.
We didn't blast. Okay, no, let's...
Okay, the fact that there were so many in stores, it's tough to explain to people who didn't grow up in the 80s what 80s toy stores were like, and it's tough to explain what those lines were like. And now I'm having a tough time explaining to my kids even what a 90s line was like. These Star Wars figures were everywhere.
Right.
And it's not like nowadays where you go into Target and there's like three pegs and there's like three figures hanging off those three pegs.
Yeah.
When this line was at its like height going into 99 before Star Wars Episode I, it was like an entire aisle at Toys R Us. And there were, say, 30 pegs of just nothing but Star Wars Power of the Force figures. Just tons of them falling off the pegs. Just so many.
Ripe and for the picking.
Vehicles laid out all along those bottom shelves.
Right.
Just like tons of stuff.
They had a presence.
Tons of stuff. They were really there,
and
man.
And you really didn't have to worry about... I mean, there were a couple like Leia and stuff that were kind of hard to find at they first, were. But it wasn't I don't remember ever being too stressed about like there were things I wanted, but it was like, okay, I'm going to find this because there were they got them out. They said, let's make these toys and then let's sell them to people. So they put them out.
The only times I felt like I stressed was early on. And I really wanted to get stuff as it came out. Like, right. I wanted a new figure the minute I could get it. I remember I was in college, you know, when this line, my first year of college when this line was hitting. And, you know, it built momentum, the line did. The first few waves, it was kind of like nowadays, where it was just a couple pegs, and they would get in a case or two, and those would disappear, and you'd have to wait a while, and they would come back. And I remember skipping class and going to the KB out near UC Raymond Walters and just going in every morning, just waiting because I knew that new wave was hit. Internet was in its infancy.
Right.
So there were very, very few Star Wars collecting sites. There was like Sir Steve's Guide, and I think Rebel Scum had just started. And so if you saw in the forums that somebody said, these figures are hitting, that was when you started looking. And then like I would go in the morning, I would look, and I remember getting the Boba Fett wave, or it was Boba Fett, and it was Luke X, or Dagobah Luke, I think maybe, and Lando. It was like three figures, and they were kind of added on afterwards. And I remember getting those and being super excited, and I didn't see them again for a while, because it was that thing where the line was just starting to get momentum, where people were going, whoa, this is something. And the store started ordering more and more and more. But yeah, those first few waves, it was tough. But then after that, when they made the switch to green card,
that's
when the line was really starting to get legs, and it was really starting to take off, and stores were ordering heavy. I remember going to Toys R Us and seeing so many pegs full, and looking through them just being like, wow, there's so many figures. And then turning and seeing they used to have these cage things on the floor that almost were like places they would keep like bouncy balls nowadays. And they were filled with Star Wars figures. From the bottom all the way to the top was just filled with green card Star Wars figures. And they were selling them. They were just like selling them like crazy.
Right.
And I would dig through that bin and go, oh, here's a Comtech R2-D2, or here's a Comtech Leia. I haven't found this one yet. And there it is, just bins of it. I can't imagine the numbers they were ordering these toys in
right. To
have that many and still sell that many. Because I don't remember a big clearance event of Star Wars Power of the Force 2 figures.
No,
I don't remember that.
No, there wasn't.
I mean, they just kept selling.
And the line stretched for...
It went for a long time.
Right?
I think the thing that actually hurt it was the prequels.
Yeah.
And the glut of prequel merchandise kind of gave all of Star Wars sort of a bad taste in retailers' mouths.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I think, hurt the line, the momentum they had going with the regular line, because there were so many Episode I figures. The Episode I event, because Episode I is kind of the follow-up to this line. It still carries forward this packaging design and
right. That
look. I remember going to that Midnight Madness event when the figures first hit and coming around the corner, and there were swimming pools on the floor of Toys R Us, and they were just filled with figures. With
Episode I stuff.
Episode I stuff for that Midnight Madness event, and they were just inundated with this Episode I stuff. And then when the movie didn't do what the movie... everybody wanted it to do, nobody was buying the figures. It was just like Episode I stuff. Oh, and that hurt this line, you know?
I think that might have killed it for me, too, officially, because I got... I hadn't seen them. I hadn't seen the figures at all.
Yeah.
And I was sick. My mom calls me. I'm at Toys R Us, and they have the new Star Wars figures. Do you want it? Give me Qui-Gon Jinn. Give me that Jedi with the beard. That looks cool. Okay. Brought it home, and as we know,
they changed the aesthetic.
I didn't think they were good because he had those real skinny arms up top. They didn't know how to do
that. And they had like a joint in the middle.
They had like a weird joint. It just
like a swivel.
It just wasn't a very good looking figure. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll try and like this.
I'll try and get behind it.
And then we saw the movie, and then, of course, you know how that went.
That's what happened.
But that was the end. But there was a good run. And
it was a great run.
And even though Episode I... came along, there was still, for the next two movies, plus stuff in between, and there have been consistently Star Wars merchandise and Star Wars figures of some sort available from 1995 all the way up to now.
It hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with you the other day, and I was thinking that kids under 20 have never known a store without Star Wars toys.
Right.
Whereas we grew up at a time... There was like a 10-year drought where there was no really real Star Wars toys.
There was that
toys.
Drought, and you were clamoring for whatever you could
That's
get.
That's crazy to me to think that people that are 20 years old have never experienced this. Like, they've always just had Star Wars figures in the stores.
Right.
They weren't there when it was like holy moly, a new Star Wars toy line. This is crazy. They've never got that experience. They've never had to go without it. It's just always been there. And, you know, I look at this line, the Power of the Force line, as just that time in my life where it was like I'd waited so long for something, and here it was, and I was able to buy it, and I was able to collect it, and I was able to go after it. And it was fresh, and it was new, it was so cool. And I met so many people like that, you know, got in the line. I remember, you know, there were a lot of times where I was at Toys R Us looking through these figures, and I would just start talking to somebody that would start talking to me. They're like, oh, you collect these too?
Right.
And it became sort of a group mentality that we were all collecting these Star Wars figures, and we were all super excited about the line. We couldn't wait to see what was happening next. And like I said, the internet was in its infancy, and so a lot of your information came from guys that you were sitting there talking to in a store, like, oh, I've seen that wave. It's out. You go here, and you can find it. And for better or for worse, you know, there's a lot of bad that may have come out of this line, where we got the scalper market that was created, I think, a lot by this line.
Well, yeah.
And, but you know,
you can't undo people's hearts, you know, like what those people were going to do something stupid regardless.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were some downfalls that came, but I wouldn't take it back.
I definitely wouldn't. I mean, it was a great time of my life collecting this toy line.
It was a great time. It was the last of the last of the innocence that I think figure collecting. Although the new Star Wars line sort of feels like that for me, but there have been problems with that where there hasn't been any in abundance.
They're not hitting it because toys just don't sell like they used to.
Right.
There won't be another time.
It's a totally different thing. And also the build up to it too. You're talking about we had the hope that they were going to come out, but you never knew that they were going to come out. You just hope that someday, and up to that point, there really hadn't been like, hey, we're bringing this back.
No, definitely
that hadn't happened.
Yeah.
All you got was, if something was done, it was done, and that was it.
There's tons of that nowadays, where it's like, oh, you wanted Karate Kid figures back then? We're making Karate Kid figures now.
Right.
Oh, you wanted an Optimus Prime to look like you back in the 80s? We're making a new Optimus
we'll
Prime that looks like he was in the 80s.
We'll give you some new Thundercats.
Here's some new Thundercats. Yeah, exactly. Here's, you know, Marvel's Secret Wars. Here, right. These are back. You know, and here's this.
It's fine that those people are doing those things.
That's great.
I like some of those things, too. But I'm just saying the difference in the mindset from then and now, like, where this is like, this was a special thing that we didn't know that we were getting, that we only dreamed of getting.
From a film series that at that time was over 10 years old.
Right.
And that was unheard of. Star Trek was doing it a little bit, Playmates was, with some of their Star Trek stuff, doing stuff based on the original series, but that was still carried along with Next Generation and those movies. This really felt like, wow, this is a blessing. You know, like, they're taking a gamble here. Kids are the ones buying toys. And kids haven't... Star Wars has been gone for 12 years. But they're bringing these out, and they're trying it, and they're going to do it. And I'm going to reap the benefits for them doing this try. You know and, you know, it kind of created the adult collector market, I think, a lot more than what we really need now. But, like I said, for better or for worse, it's a fantastic line. And I wouldn't trade those days for anything.
So much
collecting
fun.
That line. I do love the new line. We both love Saga Legends and Mission Series. And I've said before that that's kind of the figures that I wanted back in 95.
Right.
That aesthetic and kind of matching a vintage style in the realistic sculpting. But that doesn't mean I'm throwing rocks at these figures.
No, don't throw rocks at
them. I'm not going to throw rocks at them because they're great.
That would be a waste of money.
And my kids are buying these now. Like, we'll go to the flea market and things. And, you know, we got oversaturated being in the toy mall.
Yeah.
We saw this stuff all the time. So we both were like, okay, that's enough. I've seen enough Star Wars
figures.
Yeah,
we got really...
it was too much.
Inundated with them.
It was ridiculous.
And they were very attainable. We couldn't sell them, some of them, for like $2 a piece on card.
We just couldn't get rid of them. And there were so many of them at the shop. It was just... And it became to the point where I kind of moved away from Star Wars. I think we both did.
Yeah, I did too.
Where it was just like, okay, I can't do it anymore. It's too much. I'm seeing it too much. And now that we're not doing it anymore, and we don't have these around us that much anymore, going to the flea market with my boys and looking at these figures and seeing them get so excited about characters like Dash Rendar,
right,
a Jawa 2-pack, or, you know, the Gamorrean guard and the green card, and, you know, just saying, hey, you guys got $5 each. You can get a figure each.
Yeah.
And seeing their faces as they're, like, trying to pick out which one of these figures, I love it, man, because these figures were made for kids.
Right.
And they're appealing to kids. Like, they're seeing them, and they're like, man, that Boba Fett is so cool. I have this orange card Boba Fett in my hand right now.
Yeah, he does.
I just got this one in this collection. I bought it from a guy. Keaton saw this, and he was like, that Boba Fett is so much cooler than my Boba Fett. Because he has the Mission Series Boba Fett. And I'm like, what is cooler about this Boba Fett? And he's like, well, he's got a cool gun, and you could take his cape off and his Wookiee pelt off, and you could take his backpack off, and he's got muscles, and I was just like, man, that's it.
Yeah,
they nailed it. That's what they were going for, right. And they nailed it. Man, I love this line. I really do.
It's fun. It's good fun.
Let's take a look back at the line. I don't want to end on a down note.
No.
I want to end on the up note of the top five. So let's get this out of the way. What were the biggest missteps of the line? Right off the bat, I'm going to say R5-D4. That one was a mistake.
Because of that missile.
He popped open and had a missile inside of him.
Yeah, that was...
You didn't need to do that.
That wasn't very good.
That was a mistake. You should have just done R5-D4 like R2-D2. Maybe put an extra feature in him that you didn't see in the movie. Maybe twist his head and his motivator pops out of his head or something like that. That was bad. That was a mistake.
I would say I just looked at it, the power effects Luke Jedi was real rough looking.
That's rough.
And actually the Obi-Wan was rough too.
And they had to use a green lightsaber on Obi-Wan,
right,
because the blue LED I think was too expensive or something like that. And it was like 10 times more expensive than the green. So they just gave Obi-Wan a green lightsaber.
They were trying, but that wasn't...
They were trying, but it was extra stuff. A misstep.
That wasn't...
You could skip it, yeah.
You know what was... I can't think of too many more...
I can't either. I was trying to think about that, and I was like, man, I really don't think of anything...
One thing
where I looked at it when it came out and was like, I don't know about that.
One thing that we failed to mention was the playsets also that were available.
Those were cool.
They were small. You didn't get a big playset, but it was something. And they
were
affordable. And they were affordable.
Right? Yeah.
Did they do four?
They did the Death Star Chasm. They did the Death Star Escape.
Right.
They did the Hoth base thing.
Right.
And the indoor bunker.
Right.
I think there were just the four.
Yeah. Those were cool.
Especially the indoor bunker and the Hoth one.
Yeah.
They were really...
The other ones, I didn't have those. I had the other ones, and they were just kind of a neat, like... It was just a little bit more than a figure.
Mm-hmm.
But you could fit, like, three or four or five figures on it and play, and it was just...
They did those pop-up ones, too. I thought those were really neat. They were cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
And they were cheap, but there was like a pop-up Jabba's Palace, and it came with a Han Solo that had just gotten out of the Carbonite.
Right.
And then there was the pop-up Cantina playset.
It was a little later on in the line, wasn't it?
It was still Power of the Force.
Right, but it was
yeah,
it was like
more towards...
98.
Yeah.
Like
I think the Cantina started off as a mail-away through the Insider, and then they ended up packing it with a figure to bring it out later on. And then we got things where it was... You can talk about how the special edition influences into the line. You can call those missteps because I don't like the special editions.
Yeah.
Stuff like the Asp 7 droid.
Well, yeah.
Nobody needed that, but that's not Kenner's fault.
Right.
They did the droid the way it looked like in the movie.
Right.
And they did the Ronto like it looks like in the movie. They did the Jabba like he looked like in the movie. I won't call those missteps because they're just doing what he was doing.
Right.
But there's also some really other kind of cool things they did. Like, I really like what you've got here. The Luke with a little desert skiff.
We have to talk about this.
That reminds me of Mini Rig.
They had the deluxe figures that they were like four of them.
They did Boba Fett, Stormtrooper. Well, the ones that came with the big stuff, there was Boba Fett, Han, Stormtrooper, Luke, and then they ended up packing the probe droid in that same packaging.
Okay.
But the probe droid, it was a probe droid.
Right. You got this Luke that... Which I didn't want this as a kid. I didn't know. I was like a desert skiff. But I'm looking at it now. It's a cool looking vehicle. You got the figure with it, in a vehicle, and it's packed on a card. It's not like a huge thing. And even that Han Solo power
smuggler
loader,
flight pack.
Yeah,
I tell you what, Keaton has seen that and he wants that.
It seems like a dumb thing, but it's not
a
dumb
thing.
It's
perfect for a kid.
It's like a mini rig.
Exactly.
It reminds me of a mini rig.
It's a mini rig.
And you can take it off.
Yep.
And you can still have your figure, and you can still play. And if you want that option to say, hey, yeah.
That's what's great, is because they were making these for kids. Right. Like, it doesn't have to... Everything... It seems like everything, people want it for adults. Like, oh, those are lame, man. They don't have, like, tons of articulation. They don't have this. I've looked at Keaton's bin of figures, and people talk about, well, the super articulated figures don't break apart. They don't do this.
Yes, they do.
All of his Saga and Legends and Mission series are all in one piece. All of his Power of the Force 2 figures are all in one piece. All of his clone troopers or, you know, Anakin's and are missing hands or their heads have fallen off because they're ball jointed.
Our pets' heads are falling off!
All these things are just coming apart and he just doesn't even look at those anymore because they just fall apart.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in a friend, someone's house who's got a kid and their toys, you pick up their... Even some of my figures that I have that are fully articulated, are all flopping around.
Exactly. They're not made for kids. They're made for an adult to put in a diorama.
Right.
Whereas this stuff was still being made for kids. And even though when I was...
Those have their place, too. I'm not saying. But
that's fine. But I really... I hate that we moved away so much from making toys for kids. Right. Because we saw stuff like this as adults, like the Desert Skiff and things like that. And we said, oh, I don't really need that.
I don't need that.
But you know what? A kid loves that.
That's right.
And they're not doing that. They weren't doing that. I feel like they're kind of getting back to that now, to making toys more for the kids.
Right.
And if an adult wants to buy it, that's great. Fine. Right. Cool. You get to buy it, too. But let's not take it away from the kids.
Yes.
You know?
Also, I want to say again, if
Gunner stations.
If it's not about those. Oh, yeah. They had the gunner stations.
Those were cool, too.
Those were cool. If you're not having fun, then rethink it.
Totally.
Like, and this is fun. I got this Luke with the Desert Skiff as a gift, and I couldn't wait. I was happy to open that up and be like, man, I'm going to tear this open.
I'm going to play with this.
I'm going to take this off. I'm going to flip the wings out. It was cool.
Keen would lose his mind if he got one of these.
Really?
Like if I'm at the flea market and we see one of these next time, I'm going to get that.
Yeah,
I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to get one of those, or I'm going to get the Han Solo Smuggler Flight Pack. And I can guarantee that'll be one of his most played with Star Wars toys.
Right.
Is those things right there. Because it's a good, fun toy for a kid, you know? So we got both sides of the thing here. We got both, you know, adult collectors got to get their Star Wars figures again, and they got to enjoy it and get that. But there was still stuff that a kid can grab and enjoy, and it's still appealing to a kid. So don't look back at the muscle time and say it was lame, because it wasn't. All right, so top five favorites of the line. Now, these may not be the best figures that the line had to produce, but these are my favorite.
I got to tell you, I switched my criteria.
I went all over the place with this list.
I know. It was really hard. But
this was the hardest list, top five, I think I've had to do.
Wow.
I was still undecided up until like a half an hour ago.
Right.
I was telling Blaze in the car, I'm like, man, I'm doing this top five Power of the Force line tonight. I don't know what to do. Yeah. And he's like, you still haven't decided your top five? I'm like, man, I don't know. I can't narrow it down to five. Like, I'm having such a hard time saying which were my five favorites of that line. There were so many figures that I really loved when they came out, and looking back at it, I still have this love for them. Like, that's maybe they've done better incarnations of that figure since, but I have a love for that figure. So this was really tough. It was the criteria, like you just said, went all over the place.
Yes,
it went from being the best sculpted to maybe the one with the best feature. Or do I put two Lukes in? Do I only put one Luke in? Do I do two Vaders? Do I do two Boba Fetts? I stuck it to one per character.
That's what I did, but I might change it last minute.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, and I'm probably taking one from your list, so I'm sorry, but my number five is Boba Fett, and
he is on my list.
Simply because that figure holds up really well, and all the stuff that you said, Keaton said, you know, with the removable things, and it worked out, and I was very excited to get that figure when it came out, so number five.
Yeah, that's a figure that they reused this mold, or maybe not the same mold, they tweaked it some, but you could get him like this, you could get him in the two-pack with IG-88.
Right.
They knew that Boba Fett was a popular character, and they knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Again and again. But yeah, I was nuts when that Boba Fett hit, and I still have a great love for this Boba Fett figure.
Yep.
There, a lot of paint detailing. Yeah, he's muscly, but a lot of cool paint details on him and things like that.
You got two weapons, too, per person, on average.
So you got the jetpack, and you got the gun.
That's right.
For him, you didn't get the extra gun, but you got three extra pieces with him.
Right.
Because the cape piece was a separate piece, the gun was a piece, and then the jetpack was a piece. And the gun is totally not accurate to Boba Fett's gun, but I don't care.
Some of the guns were beefier, too, which was fine.
That's fine.
You got, like, a closer to movie-accurate gun plus a bigger gun.
Yeah.
So you could amass this arsenal of,
like, cool, just guns.
Just, like, Star Wars
Hot
guns.
Rebel soldiers or something.
Yeah.
And that's, again, just a sign that they weren't as stressed with making, the fans are going to, they're going to take issue if you don't put the right Boba Fett gun with him. It was just like, you know what, let's make it fun. And that's all they had to do.
That's all they had to do.
My number five is the Ewok two-pack, Wicket and Low Gray.
Nice.
Both very good sculpts, and two full-blown figures in one package for the price of one. You could say the Jawa two-pack had already done this, but I felt like the Ewoks were a step above those Jawas because they had accessories. The Jawas had little guns, but you had like the cloaks.
Well, they
were
Ewoks, too. They were more substantial.
Yeah, and they were really well painted. And I'm pretty sure that was at the time of the freeze frame cards. You got a freeze frame of them. I loved that Ewok 2-pack.
Yeah.
The fact that I was getting two figures like that for like $6.
Yep.
Crazy, man. Back in the day, Ewoks were single carded. know?
Right.
You got one wicket, and that was it.
Right.
And this, you were getting wicket and another Ewok to go with it. That was tough to find, too. That was one of the ones that was really tough to find to begin with, because everybody was eating that up. It was such a great value, and you get a main character and an extra Ewok to throw in with it. So, yeah, the Ewok 2-pack.
You could argue that the Jawas did that first, and I would as my number,
the Jawas
my number four is the Jawas. And the funny thing is,
this Jawa right
I don't care much about Jawas in general. It's not my favorite character. It's not a main character. But for that reason, you got two figures. It was the same price.
It did set the precedent. You're right.
And I still think that those are really neat sculpts because
I agree.
They're I don't know. They captured something in those sculpts, and they were just they were fun. They were fun to get, and you got two solid little figures.
There aren't a lot of figures, I think, that...
You just opened a vintage...
I just opened one of them right now. Well, it's not the 2-pack, but it's the Power of the Force Comtech Jawa, which is a lot like that Jawa 2-pack. You've got that light pipe eye thing. I really liked that.
Yes.
Where you could shine the light up through his head, and his eyes look like they were lighting up like the movie.
And you couldn't really tell too much on the...
Yeah, if you're sitting there looking at like the red kind of bleeds through. But I think the Jawas... can still like sit with Saga Legends and Mission Series now.
Yeah.
Like the Jawa 2-pack, this Jawa, you could sit it with those figures, right. And it still looks great.
That one came with a Gonk Droid. Which
is also a 2-pack.
It's a full figure in itself.
A full figure and a Gonk Droid. Yeah, I like those Jawas a lot. Good pick.
Yeah.
We did two 2-packs right in a row.
Yeah, we did.
The number four for me is the Emperor. Do you have that on your list?
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to tell anything. This Emperor figure has still not been beaten.
I think you're right.
It still has not been beaten.
As of now, I think if they do one...
If they do a Saga Legends Mission Series, it might beat it.
It will.
But this Emperor is pretty perfect the way it is.
Yeah.
It's not overboard with articulation. You got, I think, like a waist swivel, shoulders, and a little bit of head movement, not much.
Right.
Separate plasticky robe on the... A cane that fits in his hand really well, like it looks like he's, you know, moving forward on the cane. Good head sculpt. They just keep missing the mark since then on the Emperor.
Yeah, they've tried really hard
it's
times.
A mess
and
every
it's like,
time.
Yeah, a huge giant.
One's got a giant hood, a creepy looking face, or like it's way too hunched over. Or it's got like crazy flowing fabric robes.
Right, they can't seem to.
Or they want to do the Episode 3 end version, but also make it work for the other version. It's just not good.
Right.
They have not got close to this Emperor since then, and I think I find it superior to the vintage Emperor. I think you're right, that
but
if they didn't even
slightly.
Saga Legends Mission Series, they probably will top it. But for now, that Emperor stands as the best Emperor made.
I agree. And it's my number three.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. And
For all the same reasons. Yeah,
yeah,
it's just that figure holds up still.
It really does. That's one of the ones you can put with those current really well-sculpted figures, and it looks just fine.
Right.
My number three is Boba Fett, so we've already kind of talked about him a little bit here. I don't mind that this, you know, one thing I did like, talking about the different versions, I liked that the single card version is the Jedi outfit, and the 2-pack version is the Empire outfit.
Yeah.
It was neat that they did both versions kind of early on, and didn't make you feel like you were wasting money. You wanted IG-88, and at the time, the only way you could get IG-88 was to buy the Shadows of the Empire 2-pack with Boba Fett. But you got the Boba Fett from Empire, instead of... you know, the same Boba Fett again. So it was neat that you got both Jedi and that. And it's something I think they missed the mark on with now Saga Legends and Mission Series. The single card Boba Fett is Empire. The 2-pack Boba Fett is Empire.
Oh,
that could have easily been Jedi.
Right.
And you would have made a lot of people happy. All right, so what's your number two?
My number two is Luke Dagobah.
Ooh.
Which
was... Wait, Luke Dagobah or Luke Bespin?
Dagobah.
Wow.
Bespin is a great figure.
That's a great figure.
But... I picked this one, and honestly, my favorite is Luke Jedi. If not New Hope Luke, because that was the first one, and
it
really popped. But this one was the first time you got Luke in a different outfit from those
vintage
movies.
Line.
Yeah, because
they didn't make him.
Yeah, you had Luke Bespin before, and that was your Dagobah. But this one was like, oh man, he's wearing the training outfit. He's gonna go train.
This is something new.
That
was the first time we got really something new in the line.
It was new. And
and the fact that Yoda came with the blue backpack, and it was almost like you bought them both,
right?
And you made the whole scene between those two figures.
And he still looks cool, and he's really just kind of a basic figure, but I like basic figures.
He does look cool. And you get everything you need. You get the lightsaber, you get the gun. And then Yoda, which, you know, Yoda back in the day was just Yoda and a cane and Snake.
Right.
That Yoda actually came with the backpack to make it work with that figure. You know, it was, right. If you bought just the Yoda, you just had this backpack sitting around. But it really felt like those two went hand in hand, like you get those two together. That's a cool figure. I actually prefer the Bespin Luke.
That is a better...
It's a better figure.
Figure, yes.
But I understand why you put that on
there.
It's
a better... They changed the head sculpt slightly, they did. And it was better.
They changed. I think at first changed it was ceremonial Luke, was it? Take a look, because I thought they put it on the package when they said new likeness or something like that. What did they say there?
All new likeness of Luke.
Yep. So that's the first time they used that head, was in the ceremonial one. And then they used that same head with the Bespin one. And it was a much better Mark Hamill likeness.
It looks better on the Bespin figure, too.
All right, so my number two is the removable helmet Darth Vader.
Nice.
That's a great figure.
That is really cool.
And that's something, I didn't think that could be pulled off in 3 3/4 scale at that point.
Right.
Helmets usually ended up looking kind of big and goofy on stuff, but it works perfect on him. You get that helmet on, you can't tell it's removable.
Right.
It's got a good body sculpt to it. It's got a removable hand. It was my go-to Vader. Like I felt like it really outshined the original release Vader just for overall... If you ever even took the helmet off, it was a better Vader, right off the bat. They didn't just take the same Vader mold and did a removable helmet. They actually tried to make Vader a little more accurate to the way he was in the movies, and you got the removable hand, and you got the removable helmet, and the head sculpt underneath was great. Again, they've done Vader a lot of times since with removable helmets, and I don't think it's worked as well.
Right.
Because they're usually big and gummy looking, and the Vader body is kind of skinny and kind of gangly, because they're going more towards an Episode 3 body type for Vader when they do it every time, and that one was still kind of big and beefy, and Vader should be kind of big, I think, and not some skinny
waif.
So removal helmet of Vader.
Cool. What was that? Your number?
That's my number two. So you're
so
on
number
my
number one is Leia Bausch.
That almost made my list. It was really close to making my list.
Once again, the criteria is all over, but I think this figure holds up.
I agree.
Really, really well. You can still tell it's kind of a similar style, but it holds up really well. And they weren't doing digital scans and stuff back then. They had somebody
sculpting that stuff.
And when you put the helmet on, just like the vintage figure, I think holds up really well.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get that helmet on, I mean, it's
just Bausch.
It's Bausch. It's great.
Blaze, we were at the flea market this last weekend. He bought that figure.
Yeah.
And he bought it because he wanted Bausch. He wanted a bounty hunter to put with his other figures. He didn't really want to know Leia. He's got Leia's.
Right.
But he bought that figure, and he put the helmet on, and it's just Bausch.
One of the cool things about that, too, is he's got the thermal
detonator. In the hand. He loved that.
And it's sculpted in the hand, but it's sculpted so she's holding it out.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's just...
Holding the staff and the thermal detonator's out. It's just a really nice,
I normally
cool sculpt.
Don't like the sculpted weapons, but that's one case
that,
where it
that's
works.
Where it works.
Because
it's so tiny.
Because that accessory would be lost.
You'd lose it in 5 seconds. And again, that's something where they're thinking of the kids
right.
and thinking there's no way they're going to find this thing once it gets out of the hand. Right. But yeah, that's a really... And it was so close to making my list. It was really... Right. That one was really close to making the list. Bespin Luke was really close to making the list. And then some of the aliens I thought were like...
I thought Bespin Luke would be on your...
Like, Poot Snitkin was a really, really great sculpt for the time.
Cool.
The Hammerhead, even though he's kind of big and everything, it was a really great sculpt.
Yeah.
There were so many on this that I just kept going, I really want to put that on there, but man... I have to bump this one off. Or I have to
Gamorrean
bump this
Guard
one off.
Was cool too.
He was great. My number one though is that expanding universe Dark Empire Luke.
That's your number one.
I love that figure.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's still just to this day, it's just a great figure. The fact that it's Mark Hamill still in the sculpt, and it's Luke later on. It's tied into the Dark Empire comic, which kind of brought about the Star Wars coming back.
I love that comic, by the
He's
way.
Got a cool lightsaber. He's got that sweet blue highlighting along his arms. His hand comes off. He's got a gun. It's the packaging folds out. It's just everything about that figure is perfect.
Yeah.
And I'll take that figure to almost any figure produced in toy stores nowadays.
They've got the cool this paint wash over his robe too
yeah.
that tries to mimic what was going on in the comic.
Art. I love that figure.
Which is really cool.
It was really came down to Luke's being the number one. Like
right.
It was going to be a Luke, and it was just
right.
a matter of picking which one.
I was
it was close
it
between
Bespin
him and Bespin.
One, yeah.
Bespin is great.
That's great.
Because it's got that removable hand, and it's got the really cool sculpted outfit.
Right.
And I think that they were getting the body types a little bit thinner at that point.
Yeah, it
not
wasn't,
quite
it was,
as muscled
it
up.
It was toned down a little bit, and I think he was taller. He seems a little taller.
Yeah. It's just
is,
a really
which
cool
is why
figure.
I never...
He had a torn pocket. Like right. it was sculpted torn. Really, really great figure that Bespin Luke is, but I had to give it that Dark Empire Luke. Those that paint wash on those arms,
it's cool.
Is just so cool looking. That bright blue, it's just so neat. And I'm so glad they went with that look over the covers, because the covers of Dark Empire pretty much is him in almost like a Vader-y type outfit.
Yeah, it was
outfit.
Like a Vader outfit.
This is more like the interior art.
Yeah.
Man.
It's a cool look for him, too.
So I guess that about wraps it up. I think we're both huge fans of this line. We don't like to hear it dogged. And we're huge fans of the new line, too, the current line, because it's kind of bringing it back to what it was before with this and with vintage.
I'm just glad to be appreciating this again, because like you said, we kind of got burnt out for a while. It's like everywhere, but yeah, just to have the nostalgia, and like most of them aren't too expensive.
No, not at all.
Go back,
you can get a couple, $3 or $4, you can get a figure.
Right.
And I implore anyone that did collect this line and has kind of left it behind and stuff, next time you're at a flea market or something like that and you see one of these orange card, green card figures for $3 or $4, just buy it.
You know you still got them in a bin.
Just buy it and just look at it and enjoy it and take yourself back to 20 years ago. I can't believe this line is 20 years old.
Right.
Take yourself back to that and that time of the excitement of these figures. Even if you're one of the ones that's dogging it now, just get one and take yourself back to then. And it's just what a great feeling it was to have this line back then. And all the stuff that's happening nowadays wouldn't be happening nowadays had this line not happened.
That is true.
This created opened the door to tons of Star Wars figures and tons of other lines happening. It really kind of brought the market to a different place.
I want to do an honorable mention on my list that didn't make it is the Han with the carbonite block.
That was cool too.
I was never a huge fan of the Han figure itself. I mean, it was par for the course at the time, but the block is
great.
Really great.
It's got stickers.
It's bigger than some of the other ones that have come out since, or even included with the Slave One. It's got stickers on the side for the control panels, and it's got the clip in the back, so you don't have to lose your figure. You could just, you know, clip it on there. There's Han.
And
he's
the figure still
there.
Came with a gun.
He still came with a gun too, even though he came with this big block. And once again, this fits in with the new figures quite well. That's why I bought one, is just to have the.
I have one of these as well.
Just for the block. Series.
Yeah.
Just to have the.
But the Han's not bad. It's like, starting to get more towards the like I said, the thinner proportions of some of them. He's still kind of buff,
it's
but he's not.
Of course, I felt the sculpt was a little gummy maybe because of his shirt, but that's just me nitpicking.
Yeah, don't nitpick.
Taking a
stab at it.
Taking a stab from my childhood. That's what I felt. So anyway.
So that's it.
Good fun. Good stuff.
I love this line.
Yeah, it was.
I really enjoyed this. It may not be everybody's cup of tea, this episode, because we're not joking around and doing current stuff.
Hey.
But it's something we really wanted to do because we love this line and we appreciate it. And we think other people out there would that still kind of maybe have some love for this line.
You've got. They're still good in you.
They're still good in you.
I
felt
it. I can feel it in my bones.
You know, it might be fun.
My Jedi
is,
bones.
We got a lot of time to build up towards Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It might be fun to kind of take back a look at some of the other lines. Maybe not do full-blown episodes,
yeah.
But as we lead up to
I'm willing to look
Star
at
Wars
some
time.
Other Star Wars lines.
May not be our cup of tea on some of them, but hey.
Hey.
Check it out.
Why not?
All right. So I guess that about wraps it up, right?
Wrap it up.
Oh, you need that cord back.
Yeah. That about wraps it
there
up.
There it is. Next time around, we will do a regular show. We'll do like a catch
actually,
up pop culture show.
Actually, we have something special planned for the next episode also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's right. We have a guest.
It's going to be fun again.
It may be a guest.
What? We do?
I thought we did.
Who's going to be the guest?
I told you about this.
We're going to have to...
If it is this next episode, I don't know if he's going to be free or not.
We talked about the other thing. We'll talk about this.
Wait,
after the... There's going to be something that we have to discuss and figure out. Something we have
what
to work out.
What are you talking about?
That's mysterious.
Just hit the music, man. I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Mysterious.
All right, I want to put my Jawa back away while you're finding that music.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Hey, everybody. See you guys.